Well, amen. It's a joy to be back here with you. And Blake and y'all stand up. Blake and Sean, stand up. God bless you. These are two of my dear friends. They're looking for a good church. Y'all make them welcome. Amen. Shine them up at the church. God bless you. No, I really picked him up this afternoon. He's a crackhead. I laid him to Christ. No, I'm just kidding. And but hey, I married him 5 years ago this fall. Is it this fall I married y'all? They're from Brother Bevan's Welder's old church in Beeville, Texas. My goodness, I heard a few people come in here. I only had about four people behind me. Good night, it's 2,000. And I tell you, that wedding was something else. I got to sit next to a converted Jew yesterday at the wedding. And boy, can he talk. Is he here tonight? Let's put it this way. He out-talked me. You're moving when you do that. Amen, Miss Karen? Then I had three saved Lebanese guys. And I don't know what their names was. Baghdad or something. I don't know what it was. You know, Baghdad. I like that word. You just go Baghdad, Dad. And but it's guys that love Jesus Christ. And, man, I just had a ball, man. This guy was in this ear and this guy was in this ear. And I was stuffing him with bread and come on with the Luke Weezagini and all that stuff. I can't spell it, but I like it. And but I had a good time last night and just watching the whole folks just enjoy themselves and so forth. No, I get to travel a lot of these churches and I get to meet the kids. I love kids. I love puppies and kids. I hate cats. And it's in the Bible somewhere. And but I got to meet this. And that girl said, Brother Jack, when I ever get married, would you come to my wedding? And before I could make, I said, sure, I'll be here. And so she helped me. She helped me too. You're coming, right? You're coming. Yeah, gee, Wally, I'm coming. So we got up here. So me and Karen had to go. We got to go Thursday to an Amish wedding. So it's going to be full spectrum. And we're going to an Amish wedding Thursday. So we'll be up over in Lancaster, or Lancaster, how you want to call it. So we got a couple of days off here in the area. So we're going to sightsee a little bit. And so somebody gave us an RV. That's an older one, but it's clean. I like it. It's a diesel engine. I get about 10 miles a gallon, pushing about 70, 75, amen. Me and them truckers go up and down the hill together. But we're going to get something else later on. But that's her and I just to get up and down the road. And my phone's been ringing off the hook. Got a call today from a young man. And he just said, Brother Patterson, I act stupid. I left your program. You told me I was going to call you. Well, he said, well, you're a prophet. And so I said, well, I have not taken any more men right now, but I'm going to put you in another place. I put him in a place. Got a call last night from a young lady. And mother crying her eyes out. She's a principal. And her daughters just took off one day. Had an A student just flipped out and just took off. They found her last year tonight and placed a restaurant at school and brought her home to her. Living in some dangerous times. A lot of I'm going to tell some of your parents, and I'm going to preach on this tonight, but I trust nobody but Jesus. I trust nobody but Jesus, and I love these kids and see where they're at. And I just, I can, of course, mix company here tonight. Maybe I'll share some things with the preacher boys or whoever in the Bible class. But I've been to the morgue 22 times identifying bodies. And half of them grew up in a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. And they're there because they wouldn't listen to the pastor. We'll listen to God. We're going to hit that tonight. And I'm going to talk tonight about the number one thing that's wrong in my ministry. And the number one thing that's wrong with this church. I don't even know this church, but I know human nature. And I'm going to tell you something that's wrong with your family tonight. I'm not trying to spook you or something. I got one word I'm going to drive home to you tonight. I probably preached this message three times in about 25 years. But I've just been praying about what message to preach on today. And this morning service, there were 10 people that came to Reclamation Ranch, and they all go to one church, Brother Vince Master's church. And I got to see all these young folks, and they're all doing good. Praise God. And, I mean, they're doing real good. And three guys we sent there for this year, they were coming over for the revival. Oh, by the way, they're coming over for the revival, too. They want to eat, too. And I said, come on, Brother Vince, he'll feed you. Come on. So they're coming in like a mighty army, amen. And but no, I'm just kidding. Don't watch your heart. And these three guys, one guy's Amish. He talked to you. He said, that guy, Brother Veach, he said, he sounds like a nice guy. I said, you've got to turn to heart. Watch out. Now he'll rip your head off. And does he ever get mad? Never gets mad? How do you get? I want some of that. Good night. And I want some of that Veach Christianity, amen. And what's this about the beach? Are there some boys on the beach you listen to or something? Something about the Beach Boys? I've never heard of them. Well, who are those guys, you know? And, hey, I'm still looking for that lion that sleeps tonight. Yee, lum de lay, boom, 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 you know. And one of Brother Beach's favorite songs, you know. And, these three guys, got them all out of jail, got every one of them out of jail. And one had kept out of prison. And they're all in Bible school for Brother Master's school this year. And they sat in the pew last year doing fine. Different folks here. And I married Miss Blake and her husband here and so forth. All right, 5 minutes are up. Colt's coming off. That's all there is to it. Open your Bible anywhere. It's all good. I wish I could stay here for the revival meeting, but I got work to do. I got to go back to, that's in Roanoke, Pastor. Not Roanoke, Virginia. Roanoke, Alabama. Lord, I don't want to go to Roanoke, Virginia. Good night. Folks, they tease me down south about wearing cowboy boots. I tell them, I'll just put it right there. I'm not a redneck. I'm a white neck. And, but I eat southern food, amen. I had a guy call me up and said, I'll just tell you what happened. I was heading out to Washington about a month ago, and I'm taking 9 guys out there, and the superintendent calls up. He says, hey, I'm going to resign on you. I said, you're going to do what? He said, I'm going to resign on you. I said, that's a big duh. And I got 9 new guys in the van. I'm fixing to drop them off to you. Who's going to babysit these guys? He said, well, brother, I don't care what you do. I'm quitting. So he quit. And that's about 9 o'clock in the morning. So I said, well, Lord, let me give me a cup of Starbucks and I'll think this through. I can pray better with Starbucks. Amen. And so I get going on there. And all of a sudden, another guy calls me up. Hey, Brother Patterson, how you doing? I'm hanging in there. And so, boy, I got a man I want to send you. Well, not right now. Well, why not? You're not taking it? Well, I don't have a superintendent. I said, I'm praying about moving all my guys back to Alabama. He called me back 1 hour later. He says, I got something for you. I said, what do you got? He said, I got 25 acres, a dormitory, a gymnasium, a cafeteria, and a 120-bed dormitory. I said, well, who's that for? He said, yours if you want it. And I said, oh, help us. I said, what's the catch? He said, nothing. He said, you got to have insurance and just give me $1 a year. I said, I like it. That's 2 hours from Birmingham. Plus, they have about a 400 to 500-seat tabernacle on location already built. It's turnkey, paid for. So we got to fill that up, and so I don't know what we're going to tell. Brian ain't never coming home, and so he's going to be busy. And he come over today and said, man, I didn't know all this was involved in this kind of work around this. Yeah, you work with mean boys. You know, I don't know. We had 2 of them break out the other night. We called Alcatraz. And they broke out of Alcatraz. They had to go find them. They found them about the and it was a good boy that broke out. He was just mad and bitter. But anyway, so you pray for us. You got all that going on. The big bus will be in a couple of weeks. Now, I will let Mike Parkinson drive that bus, but when he sits in the seat, his legs dangle about like that. You know, he's not about this big, and he runs the boys home. Now, he ain't but about 5'3", but in his heart, he's about 7 foot, and he's a good man. Over here in, take your Bible over here to the book of Ephesians, and I asked the pastor, what time you want me done? He said, take your time. I said, all right, I remember you said that. But I really enjoyed coming up here. This is if I was in New York City, this would be my home church or Vince Massa. I love it. I know I got other supporting churches in there, but I don't like them. And I like this church. I like the cross sector here. I tell you what. I tell you it's a diversified church in Jesus' name. What are you talking about, Brother Patterson? Well, I mean, just I'm gonna talk to you about what I call. If I had to put a title on this tonight, I'd call this limited leadership. Limited leadership in the church and in the home, in the marriage, in my home, and so forth. I'm going to talk to you about some personal things in my life to try to encourage it. I don't preach just to preach to you. I preach to help you. Yeah, man, I preach to help you. As they say down in North Carolina, I want to help you tonight. You know, I want to help you. And so I preach to help you tonight. And I've been preaching now for about 37 years and been saved. I've been 36 years, been saved 37, been preaching 36. I started preaching 2 months after I got saved. And I don't plan on quitting, amen. And but over here, there's a text found over here in Galatians chapter 5, and what God deals with the Christian people here tonight. And I won't keep you long. I want to just tell you some funny stories and kind of help you out and kind of preach to you tonight. I want to minister to your life. Here's what we got. Let's see. You two brothers and sisters, come here. Come here, cheeks. Big cheeks. Are you Lebanese too? Are you Jewish? No, I'm just kidding. You look, all right, get up here. Come on, get up here. Shama. All right, this is brother and sister. Y'all get along all the time? You don't ever fight, do you? Now, he says yes, and you say no. Who's lying? Okay, God bless you. All right, watch this. Most of the time, Mom, won't you come up here? Come here, Mom. I'm going to show you something. Me and Daddy ain't here. I ain't going to ask where he's at, okay? Probably the bingo hall. Now, watch this. Here's what we're dealing with in America. Come here, Mom. You go this way. You got Mama going this way. Watch this. You got Junebug going this way. And you got Susie going this way. And he's got to preach to them. You follow what I'm saying? Now, you know what's inside this church? This picture right here. You know what's inside my heart? This picture right here. You know what's in my home sometimes? This picture right here. Hello? I'm not mad at you. I'm preaching to me. I'm wicked. I need to get preaching. I need my face ripped off. You know what happened is, and if you had to be the husband, I'll let you be the husband. Come here. Over here. Come here. She's married. I can't have her. God bless you. You come over here. You come over here. And he's going his way. And you ask what's wrong with America. Oh, man, give me something deep, Patterson. I'm giving you something deep. I'm giving you something deep. You got Susie Bimbo going her way. Not you. I'm just illustration, okay? God bless you. I know you're spiritual. You love God and you give the missions. I know that. Now, sometimes I come in the church and I see kids with hoods on. And it's 100 degrees outside. You know, M&M, you know, with all this stuff on, you know. And this guy over here, most of the time he's got earrings, you know, in his ears. He's got some fat old ears. And he's doing his thing. But Mom can't get them to follow. Number one, she's not following Daddy. That would help right there. But that would help. Won't you stand over here? Turn, look this way. If he'd follow God. So our job as a preacher, number one, of all these three right here, is nail this bird right here. Your bird. And what's your name? Sebastian. Brother Sebastian's got to get right. You are saved, right, Brother Sebastian? Okay, good. Get Brother Sebastian saved. Get Brother saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But get him saved. Get him in church. And Lee Robertson said it takes three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And get him saved with the Word of God. But this is what I have to do. I have to deal with every day of my life. Dad's doing his thing. And you know what they call me? You know what they call and tell me? Will you come fix my son? Come on, talk to me. Would you fix my son? Or then the mother says, you got to fix my daughter. Yeah, but look what she's doing. She's not even following her husband. But she wants me to fix her daughter. Hello? Thank you. God bless you. You can breathe normally now. Go ahead. God bless you. Everybody in here has insecurities. If I talk to you for five minutes, I can find out what you don't like about yourself. You think I'm going to get you it? Your nose is crooked. You ain't got no hair. I ain't picking on Mr. Clint Kojak back. Rocket! Remember Kojak? If you don't like Kojak, you're not saved. At least he didn't cuss back in those days on the program. I got a guardian in that whole movie. the whole movie because it cuts all the cuss words out. But what happens here is this: we have insecurities in our own life. I don't like being tall. You go on the airplane, and they just old women just look at you. He's big. He's big. And sometimes I just stop and look at him and say, "Yeah, I'm big. I'm 6'9". How you doing? Oh, how'd you do? We're talking about you. How's your mouth moving? That's why." Old women talk loud like that, you know. One time some old guy said, "You one big sucker, ain't you? Yeah, you ugly. UGLY. You got no alibi. You ugly, ugly, ugly." Sometimes you get those things. Then they always put me in a seat next to another fat guy. And I see three skinny little girls over here sitting over here, you know, sitting there reading a book, you know, we were nice and comfortable. I said, oh, give me that seat over there, bless God. I don't like the dark. At our house, we got night lights everywhere. Approach control. He's coming to the kitchen again, crash landing at the icebox. But you know what happens is God takes those insecurities that in your life to get you to trust him. Okay? Now here's where I'm going tonight. I'm talking about limited leadership. Let me tell you something. Your pastor is only successful in this church, watch this, as much as you allow him. I'm going to tell you some stories tonight where I had some pastor's wife who wouldn't let their husband pastor. I know some mom and dad tonight that want to reach their potential, but the children won't allow them. Oh, it's quiet in here. And you say, well, I'm wicked. No, it's human nature. But what you got to bank on tonight, you got a new nature. And now we're going to talk about one word tonight. That's the word follow. Follow. Being told what to do. But you ain't telling me what to do. They were telling that to Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. God killed them because they lied to him. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about some stories tonight. Look over here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Now, by the way, I got this problem every day of my ministry. I heard your pastor say this tonight with my own ears. We need some people to help cook. Now, the sad thing about it, he said it three times. It shouldn't have been that. It should have been one time. I called home the other day, and I got a hold of a guy working, and he said, Brother Patterson, is everybody off on off day? I said, what? What do you mean off day? He said, there's nobody here. I said, you're supposed to be working in the building and sheetrocking and working and slinging hammers. He said, no one's here. I said, let me take a little note there. I'll bring it up in the next staff meeting. Here's a guy who's semi-retired over there working in our place, helping two other missionaries to move in, and no one's there to help him. Somebody's not following. And you know what happened? The thing did not get done, and the house wasn't ready. I'm trying to help you tonight, and the house didn't get done because somebody didn't follow. Everybody wants to lead. But you will never be you'll never be able to lead until you learn to follow. I don't care what it is. My wife is a domineering woman. She runs a show. I have to let her. But I'm stronger than she is. But if I let her, I told the guys, I said, fellas, if I die, you better pray to God she gets off the board of directors. Because she's going to cut most of your heads off. I'm doctor, she's Dr. Grace, she's Dr. Law, I'm Dr. Grace. I let them all slide. What'd you let him slide for? Cut his stinking head off. I said, Karen, calm down. She turns green. She becomes Mrs. Hulk, amen. But you know what she's doing? She's protecting her husband. You know what Mrs. Veach did for those how many years? 19 years she protected her husband. You know why she protected her husband? Because she got more mileage out of it. That was for her benefit that he got to do what he had to do. That benefited her. Hello? You know where most of us fail at? We stop following because we think we want to lead and it's not your position to lead. I'm trying to help in your Christian life tonight. And I got a hold, look over here at Ephesians chapter 5. Well, Brother Patterson, give me something deep. Get talk with some doctrine. I'm going to talk to you on some doctrine. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye, now it's imperative in the English language. There's a commandment there. God's interest in this. Be ye therefore, follower, therefore what? Because you got right and, you're doing things for Christ's sake. Look at the verse previous to that. Be ye kind one toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That'll go a long way, realizing what Christ's done for you. And a lot of times there's some things I can't do it, and some things I don't want to do it. I sometimes say, Jesus, this is for you. And helping missionaries, putting lives back together again. And I got news for you. It gets tiring. It don't get boring. I get fed up with stuff. Because why? And I'm going to bring God in the picture too. Because God had a problem with some Jews not following him. He got tired of it. You know what he said one time? He says, you weary me. You weary me. See, I'm trying to help some of you dads. I'm trying to help some of you dads because why? Some of your kids one day is not going to follow you. And you're going to have a problem. Oh, some of you husbands, one of these days, your wife's not going to follow you. You're going to have a problem. And what's going to happen, the work of God is not going to reach its potential. It's not going to reach its potential because you're not following. Now, I won't turn to it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, flee. I'll give you the outline. Flee, follow, fight. You know why some are not fighting in the work of God tonight? Because they're not following. I gave you a clue why they're not following. They're not fleeing. There are some things in their hidden life they hadn't fled yet, and the reason why they can't follow is because why? They get bitter on the inside and disrupted on the inside, and when they get disrupted on the inside, there are some things that they don't want to flee. Sexual sins, pride, envy, jealousy. I got a guy right now, he calls me up all the time and wants to know how many boys I have in my boys' home. I said, why are you calling me? He said, brother, I just want to make sure I got to make sure I have more than you. I said, what is that the price of eggs? Somehow he got caught up with this driven mentality that you had to be number one. God never told you to be number one. Good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. Hey, I'm here to please Jesus Christ. If I run five, that's fine. If I run nine, but I tell you what, I put seven in Bible college last year. That's pretty good results. Yeah, man. Some said to Brother Jackson, they said, Brother Jack, what's your success rate? I got a lot that encourages me, and I have a number that humbled me. You know who I remember the most? Not my success stories, it's my failures. Good preaching, Brother Jack. Good preaching. Her name was Heidi. Heidi was about 6'2". Very beautiful girl. I'll come in the church and preach sometime. I see Heidi, a tall girl. I'd cut up with her a lot. You know, I say, hey, if I had a son, I'd have him marry you. Duh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a tall boy. And she'd laugh. And one day I came in the church, Brother Veach, and Heidi was nowhere to be found. I said, what happened to Heidi? And her mother just started crying. I said to her, Pastor, what happened to Heidi? Where, you know me, I said, hey, what's up? Where's Heidi, you know? And the dad said, Pastor said, Brother Jack, she's no longer in church. I said, where is she? Let me ask you a question. When Peter denied the Savior, what did Jesus do? He went and cooked some fish. Where? Where he was rowing for fish. You know why Jesus went after Peter? Not only was he fixing to die for him, watch me now, but he had a lot invested in him. You know what I spent a lot of my time in? Something I have investments in. Kids are worth investing. Your marriage is worth investing. Your church is worth investing. We're going somewhere. Hold on, I'm just laying the foundation here for you. So forth. This girl Heidi, she never held hands with a boy. That's a testimony. Never even held a hand with them. Them kids never held hands with them. And I said to the pastor, I said, where's Heidi at? He said, Brother Jack, he said, Heidi's a go-go dancer. I said, Heidi's a go-go dancer? What is she doing being a go-go dancer? And he just dropped his head. I said, have you talked to her? He said, no. She said, she's at a go-go bar. And I said, what's the name of it? Well, you know what I'm fixing to do. Thank you. God bless you. Elvis left the building. That's exactly what I did. I called her up at the go-go joint. I don't know, brown sugar or spicy, whatever her stupid name was. I said, yeah, this is Brother Patterson. She said, what are you doing calling me here? This is a go-go joint. I don't care. If you don't come out front, I'm going to get a stinking bullhorn. I'm going to say, Heidi! I'm going to do what the Shirley Temple special. Heidi! You know. She came in, I got to meet her. She said, you're crazy. I said, I know it. I said, what are you doing here, stupid? And she said, oh, Brother Jack, I messed with my life. I said, I tell you what. I will meet you at your father's house. This was on Saturday. I'll meet you at your father's house on Sunday afternoon in daylight. Watch your testimony. I met her there to talk for 2 hours. And boy, by the way, last time I saw her, Brother Veach, she was teaching Sunday school class. She was in church, and she was doing the will of God, working God. And all of a sudden, something snapped in Heidi's life. She told me what it was. She said, I hate my dad. I said, you hate your dad? He's got a nice home. He's a mortgage broker. Runs cattle. And she just went like this. She said, Brother Jack, you don't get the picture, do you? She said, my dad told me he loved me once in his whole life. He's more concerned about his filthy money and my stupid education. But all I wanted to be was daddy's little girl. You know why I came to this funeral, wedding? That I knew there was a daddy's little girl there. I like your pastor. I like him more than love. I like him. I like being. I love some guys, but don't like him. I just get the loot and scoop. But you talk about spaghetti and meatballs. We'll hang around for that now. We put that in the schedule. We can book it in. I said, Heidi, what would it take to get you right? I said, you don't know who she is. I won't give her last name. I said, Heidi, what would it take to get you right? We talked about all this. My own sister came to me and she says, I'm going to kick my husband out of the house. I said, what is he doing, beating you? No. Is he stabbing you? No. Is he beating the kids? No. He won't get saved. You're going to kick him out of the house because he won't get saved? That's what she said. She's about to start ready to cuss him. I said, he's not a pervert. Hold on. Whoa. He just won't get saved. His father's a devil. Get out. That's just my sister. I had to get on her, rip her face off. I said, man, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm going to kick the sucker out of my house. He won't get saved. Bless God. And I said, you Jezebel, you can't do that. I got in her face, Mother Feast. I got in her face and told her, bugger, 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 bugger. I got in her face in Jesus' name. I got a phone call one day from a young man. And he said, Brother Jack, he said, I'm leaving the ministry. And I said, well, what for? He said, my wife left me. I never met this guy's wife. I said, your wife left you and you're leaving the ministry? I said, why'd she leave you? He told me, over something stupid. By the way, it was not over sexual sins, went over no money. It was just something stupid. I said, where you at? He said, I'm in Florida. I said, well, I'm in Alabama. Alabama. I said, no, I was in Tennessee. But I was preaching a meeting over in Texas. I drove to Florida about 17 hours straight to meet that guy. Remember when I went and saw that guy? I said, Karen, I'm not going. I got to meet this missionary. I never told a soul. I didn't call my bed. Hey, man, I got this guy, man. He messed up mudslinging. See, when you sling mud, you lose ground. I went and saw this guy, Brother Veach. This guy, oh, he can speak the lingo. I'm not going to tell you what language he spoke. Once you're trying to figure, we might even support him. I went, and he's a good guy. And I got talking to him, but I said, I got to see your wife. I got to look at her eyes. A lot is known by your eyes. Capisce? I went and saw his wife in a conference, and I said, I'll kill that sucker. I look at her, I said, that guy's a good, that this woman's a good woman. And sure enough, she was, and the guy was a nut job. He was stuck on stupid. I went back and told him that. Don't get upset. I told him he was stupid. I said, you're an idiot. You got a good wife. He said, I know what I blew it. See, he got so wrapped up in what he was doing and forgot about his wife and kids at home. He got so caught up in the work of God that he forgot about the God of the work. I thank God you got a pastor who loves you, who cares for you, but he put the emphasis where they ought to be. I told that girl, when I marry you, I'm not going to put my ministry ahead of you. And I almost did. She said, you remember that promise you made me? Oh, help us. Yes, I do. I had to get right. I got a call from another young man. He said, Brother Jack, I want to go to Bible school, but my wife won't let me. I said, what do you mean? She said, if I go preach one more time, she's going to go down to the local bar and become a prostitute. And everybody in town knows she's a pastor's wife. Sound like something over in the book of Hosea. How would you like to have a wife named Gomer? Remember that story? You don't know the story, don't you? Hosea, the prophet, his wife was a prostitute. God was using that story to tell, look, I got to deal this with Israel. And this, and I have, and God used that whole story, that whole scenario. And that dear preacher got off on heroin because his Jezebel wife was a Jezebel, and she wouldn't listen. But the Bible says right here that, my dear children, be ye followers of God as dear children. So let me give you a statement here tonight. You will help your church. You will help your husband. You will help your family. You will help your profession. By the way, do you know what your, when you go to work, do you know what your job is? Your job is to make your boss look good. Amen. Come on. Hello. I know all about the union guys and so forth. I know all about the union guys and doing things. But what, hey, it's my job. It's my job. When I went there for 8 hours, I went there to make armored tanks. They used to have guys come up from the union and say, Jack, you're working too much. You're making us look, no, I'm making you look bad. He said, if you don't slow down, we're going to cut your welding machine in half. I'm making those boring tanks. I work on a boring tank. I cut the boring mill. I used to put the turrets on the tank. I put the grooves in the bottom of that hull by the old M60 tank. And my job was to do, a tank and a half for 8 hours. I was doing two tanks by 7:30 at night. I had a soul winning scheme going on. I got my tanks done. I went up and took a shower. Then I hit the floor preaching 2 or 3 hours a night to 2,000 men every night. And some of the union guys got mad, and the boss said, hey, he said, Jack's putting the tanks out, and he's getting 2 full tanks done in 4 hours instead of 8. And he said, work's all done, but he can't go home because he wants to get paid. I had foremen come by. He said, hey, man, you're making these other guys look good. One guy said, we're going to blow your car up. I said, one guy said, well, I'm going to come by and kill you. I said, what you going to do, scare me with heaven? See, my job was there to make that boss look good. My job was to go there, and we got a stinking lazy society. I shook hands with a boy today. I said, boy, what's I almost got mad. I said, boy, come on, you can do, you know, Michael Jackson or something? Come on. Go, hey, ladies and husbands, put some up in your boy's handshake. Come on. I've told you some stories, and that's for one reason. I'll go backwards. One night they're having this foreman said, I need this tank. And when you're cutting through sand, some of you guys that run machines, you know what I'm talking about, you're cutting through those tanks and those carbide tips, you got to turn that machine down slow. And you're just grinding off that steel and that stock on the excess. I was a rougher, not a finisher. And so I'm in this tank. Well, when I'm cold and lonely, I sing. And I'm in this long, this tank line about at least 1,000 feet long, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm in inside this tank, this bellowing tank, and it's got an 8-foot drop in this tank. I'm in this thing. All of a sudden, I have a flashlight, and I'm going around there, and all the men were in the lunchroom, and they're all eating. All of a sudden, I just start singing, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place. I'm singing. But coming out of that tank didn't sound like that. It sounded like, and it's echoing all down that chamber of that building. And one guy said, hey, who's working on the line? I hear somebody yelling. One guy said, that's Jack Patterson. Now, hey, he's hollering for help. His arms caught in there. His legs caught in there. Lights goes off. Flashes goes off. I mean, there were 300 people coming around me. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. And man, don't ever touch me when I'm by myself. Don't ever put your hands on me when I'm by myself. I'm going, you know, what? And man, I look out there. One guy had a sandwich and his britches fell down. He's still trying to eat a sandwich and hold. That's why I wear these for. Amen. God bless you. And the foreman sees me in there singing. He says, hey! He said, what are you doing? Oh, he was hot. Ooh, was he hot. He said, I was up there eating my lunch and I heard you down here yelling. He said, and you're down here singing. He said, what was you singing about? I took my hat off. I took my work glasses off. I got above that tank. And I said, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the far. And I'll see all of them tears just coming down. Down the more cheeks. About 400 men. And the Lord said, sick them. I preached to them how to get born again. I didn't have any of them raise a hand. But after they all left, hey, Rev, can I see? Can I talk to you when everybody leaves, Rev? I got a daughter in the hospital. I don't care how mean they are. I try to find a hurt in their life and fix it. What are you saying, lad, preacher? I went through that job to help that foreman look good. That foreman loved me. Oh, by the way, I'll tell this to you quickly. When I first got there, they had pornography all over the back of that tank. I said, whoa! I just hit the emergency button, shut the tank down. I had checkered stripes across my hat. I hadn't been in the union yet. Foreman says, you got to run that machine. I said, I ain't going to do nothing but stay white and die. I said, you get that pornography off that machine, I'll go run it. And another guy, you ain't taking my pornography off. I said, yeah, you are. And see, they knew I could run those machines. I didn't need a trainer. I was good at it. I grew up in Detroit, man. I grew up in machine capital of the world. And got up there, and they took down every piece of pornography off every machine, about 10 machines. Well, I was mud. I had paint on my car. I had F-word on my windshield and flattened my tires, you know, and so forth, just for taking a stand. But I stayed on, and all of a sudden there was a big layoff, about 1,000 guys. Guess you got a call from the foreman about 2 days later. Hey, Jack, we're calling you back. I said, why is that? He says, you're the only guy in the plant. If I'm lying, may God kill this guy right now. He says, you're the only guy in the plant that can run these tanks and these outlets to put those bearings in. I said, what happened to the other two? He said, the other one had a heart attack, and Big Tony, he wants to retire. He said, and Tony didn't train nobody else. Tony was a Russian, was a guy from Russia, and he liked MacArthur, and he and I got talking, and I was on another machine, and the Holy Ghost gave me an idea. I said, look, man, I ate my two big. I said, Tony, I said, I want to run these machines. He said, you like Douglas MacArthur? I like Douglas MacArthur. He said, you come in here on half hour before I leave, I'll show you how to run this machine. And for 30 days, folks, I came to that shop on my time, and I learned how to run that machine on my time. I could do it, and then I could do it half the time. He said, you're walking too fast. You're walking too fast. Slow down, boy. Slow down. I had a guy one night. I went to eat my submarine sandwich, and the guy put a rat on my sub. I love that rat head. It was good. It was good, juicy. I didn't eat it. I'm just kidding. And I looked over at him. He went, hey, he was honest about it. My Christianity was at stake. About 3 days later, he said, I was walking out the check line and checking, clocking in. And he said, would you pray for my daughter? She's got pneumonia. And if they don't get the fever down, it's going to mess up her body. I went to the hospital and prayed for her. Hello? I didn't think about that rat he put on my stinking substance. He hated Christians. This guy hated Christians. I took all his pornography down. I'm talking about following the night. And I came back at the end of the day, about a week later, he sent me a note. There was about a 3-foot submarine sandwich on there. He says, dear Brother Jack, I'm not a Christian. I hate Baptists. But I like what you did for my daughter. No more fights. No more rats. Something like that. And I still checked that suck out because he was lying. I checked that suck out. I said, hey, you want a bite of this, brother? Come on. Let me have this up. Let me give you something to use. Does it taste all right? Is it all right? Not fuzzy, is it? When I left that shop, there were over 1,000 guys, or over 400 guys came to the going away party to say goodbye to Brother Jack. I'd gone back working with Dr. Howes full time. What am I saying? That's what I couldn't wait to get to. The foreman who I had a problem with sometimes, I walked in the First Baptist Church one day. I'd been going about 10 years out west and come back from Washington. I look up here and I see him on an offering plate. I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm the usher." I said, "Last time I saw you out, you was cussing guys out on the stinking floor because they couldn't get their production." He said, "No, but I kept reading those tracks in the office." Woo! Come on! What do you mean you're not listening? Yes, they are! Yes, they are! Yes, they are on the street! Hey, you black pampers! Yeah, they're going to stick it in their pocket, and God's going to get a hold of life in them in that morning. Ushered First Baptist Church. One usher come up to me and said, "Hey, Jack, right now." I said, "I'm on my first cut and I want to get some overtime. And man, I just want to pay my bills." I don't know what he was wanting, marriage counsel, whatever, you know. I said, "Can I get—" He said, "Shut that sucker off. I'm the foreman." Boom, shut it off. He said, "In the office." I said, "Oh, good night. Now what do I do?" I go in there and there's a board. He says, "You draw the rapture and the second coming on that board." He sat down, put his feet on the counter with a cup of coffee and said, "Right away." And he called in four of the foremen. He said, "Jack's going to tell you about the Jesus who's coming back. I want y'all to see this." For three sneaking hours, I'm drawing on the board, and I'm doing what you're doing. I'm laughing. I said, "God, this is funny. Guys that cuss me out, and because we're Baptists, now they want to know about the second coming of Christ." I leave. I'm at the U-Haul place loading up to go to start the Reclamation Ranch out west. I go to rent a U-Haul truck. And there's this deacon there named Dominic. He said, "Hey, Big Jack, how you doing?" I said, "Hey, Dominic, how you doing?" He said, "I'm a deacon now at a Baptist church." I said, "I can't believe it." I said, "I know there's a God, but I still can't believe it. You got saved. And long you were a deacon." So what got those guys saved? Because I was there to make that boss look good. And those bosses liked it. And they got saved. By the way, he slipped something in my pocket. And I look around, and I can feel money. Ooh, I'm from Detroit. I can feel that money. And I felt it in my pocket. And I opened it up. And there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. C notes. $500. He already walked out the door. I tried to catch him. He was a foreman. He used to cuss us out. Draw me the rapture on the board. Draw me the rapture on the board. Draw me the rapture on the board. What's your problem tonight? What your problem is right here? You gotta learn to follow. You gotta learn to follow. Hey, wife. You got to learn to follow your husband. Hey, husband, you got to learn to follow God. Hey, kids, you got to learn to follow mom and dad. Hey, mom and dad, are you giving your kids a double standard? Mama going this way, daddy going this way? Or they see one accord in the home. That's what I like about little Mikey Parker. I call him Mikey. Mike Parkinson. That's funny to see him sitting in the chair, little Lane just dangle like this. "Hey, Brother Jack, what are we doing today?" They got us three lovely daughters that love God. And they just want to please mom and dad. I said, "Brother Mike, y'all want to go to New York?" Now, I got some staff members, "Well, you know, it's a long way up there and shit." Forget about it. Remember what Jesus said? He made as though he'd go a little further. No, he said, "Jesus, you want to come in our house?" No. "Jesus, come on. Hey, he wants you to beg him, brother. He wants you to know that you got interest in him." I said, "Mike, want to go to New York?" Jumped on it that fast. Why? He wants to be around preaching. He wants to be around. You know why some staff members get some stuff from me and some other staff members don't? They don't follow right. Sometimes I'll tell a man to do something, and I write on the board and put my name into it, and when I get back, that's the first thing I'm checking out. First thing I check out in my van, I say, who's got the biggest dent? I'm checking. I'm watching that door, too. That sliding door. What happened to Heidi? Heidi called me up. She said, Brother Jack, I need to get right with God. I sent her off to a place. She got fixed. She got married. Had 5 kids now. Got her life focused. Her mom and dad got fixed. What happened now? What happened to that missionary? I had his wife come in I called him up. I said, hey, won't you come in and help me out here? He said, I got a problem. He said, now my wife wants to come. I said, no, that ain't a problem. That's a blessing. I'm going to tell you the name. Never will do that. But they're on a foreign field tonight. And no one knows what they went through. Because I won't tell. I got a hold of my sister. And I said, what are you going to do? I said, you need to get a hold of your husband. See, here's what we got. Here's what we got. I need a dad, a mom, and young kids. Who? Give me a dad and 2 young kids. Anybody? Come on, my brother with the van, come on up here. Yeah, you. Yes, sir. The guy with the dumb look on his face. Come on up here. I got to have a wife here. I got to have a wife and 2 kids. Is your wife here? Have a seat. Okay, right here. The brother right here that drives the van. You want the big van, the little van. The guy right here. The guy with the big nose. Right here. Come here. My Irish buddy. I know he's not Irish. Now I'm going to give you something deep. Now watch this object lesson. You kill me when I'm gone. I'm taking Patterson. I can't believe he said that. Remember how you guys used to Gucci goo when the kids weren't here? You remember them days? Come on. Amen. And all of a sudden, here comes 2 kids. What's for dinner? What's going on? Who's your stinking clothes around here? But one of these days, these 2 kids are going to be gone. Now, I tell you, when most divorces take place, right after she graduated from high school in the world. Why? Because they have that void that's not filled. You follow me? You know what I'm saying? So mom and dad, you got to stay in love with each other during these times of growing these kids. I got to love Karen during the times of my ranch growing. And I even got a Dachshund puppy that loves me. I don't do cats. Don't do cats. Not in the church age. Only in the millennium. All dogs go to heaven. All cats go to heaven. It's in the Bible somewhere. But I've seen homes, watch this, have the kids where he falls in love with him and she falls in love with her, and they fall in love with each other. I didn't get that in the book. I got that in Reality 101. Thank you. God bless you. Now, the joy of that is this. My sister got a hold of me. My brother-in-law got a hold of me. He says, what'd you do to your sister? I said, I didn't do nothing. I just told you to be nice to your husband. She said, she hadn't cooked for me in 10 years. I said, what happened? He said, now mind you, he's 70 years old, 65. He said, I came home the other night, and she attacked me at the front door. I said, what do you mean, attack? She said, he said, she attacked me like she used to attack me when she was 20 and 25. Now, I don't know how a 65-year-old kiss. I mean, road mapped on the face and varicose veins on the leg. I don't know what you got to do, but something sparked at that door. This ain't coming out right. Then he called me back up. He said, tell her some more, man. Tell her some more. Tell her some more. By the way, you know who saved him? I know Jesus Christ, but you know who got his attention? His wife. He was 70 years old, and my sister was dying 3 years ago this August. And he looked at her and said, baby, what do you want? And she said, I want to see you in heaven with those 2 kids that got burned alive in a gang fight. He said, I'm 70 years old. I've been mad at God all these years. He said, I sure want to see you in heaven, baby. He said, there's no altar here. And Joe Arthur, a good friend of mine, said, oh, yes, there is. There's a chair right here. And my brother-in-law, at the age of 70, that I've been praying for a long time, bowed his heart to Jesus Christ and got saved. And the good thing about it, when they both went to church, oh, my sister, she had a grin like a mule eating sour. She's sitting next to her man in church. In church. Yeah, she got him by following. By following. Hey, wife, you want something? Follow. Hey, husband, you want something? Follow. Now then, one verse. We'll get out of here. I'm hungry. Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 78. Before we get to this verse, so you guys think I'm a natural born leader? No. I've been natural born suffering. I'm natural born trials. When they burn your dorm down on you and steal your van and stab you, you learn a few things. And when they lie to the welfare and they come check you out with a magnifying glass, you learn a few things. Had the welfare come check me out a couple years ago, and they said, we even like your place so much, we even like your dog. Had a white Samoan husky, big old brown eyes, and had that little bouncer. Well, he went to heaven on me, though. I respect our sheriffs. Know them by their first names. I pray for them every day. We went to see that one sheriff. He said, you ain't leaving yet. Get on your knees. We're going to pray for you. That was the sheriff. Hello. Look over here at Psalm 78. Not only is the church affected, not only is your home affected by not following, God's affected. I don't like this verse because it's my realm of my brain can't comprehend it. But you know what God has to do sometimes? He has to make an announcement like your pastor. Can somebody show up and fix this? Can somebody show up and cook this? 3 times I heard that. Tonight. You know what made me want to do? Come down to Alabama and cook it myself. That's me, though. She knows that. I'd rather take an RV. Where are you going? I'm going to go back and cook breakfast. You eat good, too. You won't eat no oatmeal, bless God. You won't eat no runny eggs. No snot won't be on your eggs either. Hey, that's in the Bible somewhere. Look over here. Where am I at? Psalms. I'm wanting to keep going, but I can't. I got to cut the water. And the wash machine's cut off. Now, you have enough sense when the wash machine's shut off. Cut it off. Look at verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Watch it now. I got these glasses. I got the wrong prescription. But he being full of compassion, amen, Lamentations 3:25, every morning you wake up, you get a cup of mercy, a bowl of mercy. Every morning when you want or not, it's there. Forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, and many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that we are but flesh. We don't remember that sometimes. Hey, another verse in Ecclesiastes said we are but dust. God remembers sometimes what we forget. A wind that passeth away and cometh not again. And how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now I have to ask myself. I ask myself today. God ever held you up? I don't like thinking that verse, but that verse is in the King James Bible. Limit. There's a boundary. You put a boundary on it. He wants to move in your ministry. He wants to move inside your home. And he won't come in because you won't follow. And he says, you limit me. Is that in your prayer life? Is that in your anger? I don't know. I know sometimes I know I've limited God. And I got to get old stinking Jack Patterson out the way. And I start praying about that. The Lord said, no, that isn't the issue. I said, boy, the issue is you. The issue is you. You got to get out of your way. I've offended boys and girls in my program. Lateness of the hour, I can't tell you the time I drove, but I'd apologize and make things right to him. Make it right. What are you saying, preacher? This church is going to see some greater days. Your family is going to see some greater days. If you'll just follow. If you'll just get involved. My staff, I tell them, I said, staff, if I told you what I really want to do, you'd quit today. But I'm out to finish the job. I'm out to help that next boy. I'm not out to talk to the next critic. I can't stand critics or strife. Stay out of my face. You ain't got something to say good about somebody, get out of my face. I want to help somebody. But I'm talking to the body of Christ tonight as a preacher passing through town. There's a lot more people you can help if you can just give them the follow. Let me ask you a question, head bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you a question tonight. Brother Jack, I see some things tonight. Do you see some things at work when you can be more productive if you would just follow and quit fighting with the boss? Can you see that? Wives, can you see something inside your home if you just quit fighting your husband? Kids, if you would just quit fighting mom and dad, do you see something inside your home that you can get more? Church, do you see some things inside your church that can do more if you would just follow and quit pricking your way through it? Who say, preacher, I see some things tonight that you talked about. I never hardly preach messages like this on the road. I'm out to raise money and tell you what I need, but I didn't do that tonight. I got needs, I ain't going to talk about them. But who say tonight, Brother Jack, I heard your message tonight. I know why you preach that. I see some limitations in my life tonight, and by the grace of God, I need to work on them. Would you lift your hand all over the room tonight? Oh my. Many hands. Let's all stand. I want my wife to come to the piano. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We won't be long, I promise. Well, watch this. I'm going to give you a chance to respond to God. Okay? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to be dismissed. Hey, revival meeting's coming in a couple of weeks. They're going to need some workers. You know what they're going to need? They're going to need some people behind the scene doing the job, and nobody will ever get recognized for it in this life. You said, preacher, God, I see some limitations in my life tonight. What do you say you walk down an old-fashioned altar and come tell the Lord about it? Would you do that? Some are here already. Who'll come join them? Say, come. Father, bless the invitation tonight. Do a work in the heart of your people. In Christ's name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Come on. We won't hasten. Come on. That's right. Come on. Come on. Quickly. Come on. Hey, won't you come work on those limitations tonight? Hey, let's go ahead and get preset for revival tonight. Let's get rid of those limitations tonight. Let's get rid of those limitations. I didn't say it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard. That flesh does not like to turn. That flesh does not like to be told what to do. Let's take care of the limitations tonight. A lot more hands went up tonight. Come on, quickly. Come on, quickly. We won't tarry. Come on. Amen. Hey, Mom and Dad. Quit telling your kids to quit putting limitations on God. What do they see you put on them? Come on. Brother Beach.
Else that needs to come, why don't you come now? Have you been the one that's limited God in your home, in your marriage, in your life? Something in your own life. You won't change. Like the preacher said this morning, we either make excuses or we make changes. Have you limited God because you haven't been willing to follow Him in some area of your life? Why don't you just surrender that to the Lord this morning? Or this evening here. Anybody else that wants to come, we'll keep this open for another minute or so. Anyone else? right now and make it right if you need to do that. Our Father, Lord, we thank you this evening for your word, for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the admonition tonight from the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember what we've heard tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us if we're going to go out of here tonight, if anyone's going to leave this place tonight, Lord, and something is still not right, I pray you'd help them, Lord. Lord, help us as a church not to limit what you want to do in this place, Lord. You have a desire, you have a plan and a purpose for this church. You have things in your heart, Lord, that you want to accomplish. And Lord, I pray that we might not limit you by our disobedience, by our stubbornness, our unbelief, by not willing to just submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Help us and forgive us. Lord, I pray for homes in this room tonight, Lord, marriages in this room tonight. Lord, there's more than one that just need a miracle tonight. They just need repentance, broken hearts, and they need to be reconciled to each other. And Lord, I pray you do a work, Lord. Heal some homes, heal some marriages and lives. Thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for our brother and his ministry. Lord, you've been here this evening with us, and Lord, you're so good to us. And Lord, as we go from this place, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us throughout this week to walk worthy of Jesus Christ. Help us to remember who we are. You've saved us. You've made us children of God. Help us to live like it, Lord, in this world, that others might see Christ in us, Lord. We thank you for this time together, Lord. Now we pray that you get everybody home safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you, and we're dismissed.